Hey guys, welcome back. Another edition of the Detour Live. It's another special edition because we're joined by the voice of cycling again, who's just done 50 Tour de France's, which is unbelievable. And I'm joined as always, Johnny Trevorrow. But we'll start with Phil Liggett. Mate, how are you feeling after completing 50 laps around France?
Well, I got my first Maillot Jaune, and it took 50 years to get it, Dan, but the organisation, lovely presentation, the 4 days into the race, and Christian Prudhomme gave me a yellow jersey, which he signed, and he said it's the only time in his life he's ever signed a yellow jersey, and it was for me, so I thought it was very
special. Wow, pretty special.
And they gave me a very nice bottle of red, which one day we might share. Needs a couple of years to mature. So do I, of course. Let's face it. Yeah.
You're just getting to maturing age now, Phil. You know, you're like a fine wine.
It was a great trip, aren't you? I mean, it's just fantastic. Long drives, probably most we ever drove. You know, the race is 3.3 kilometers. We probably drove 7,000 with the long drive.
Sounds like a detour.
Just to get to from Denmark to the back onto the race route in Calais, we drove through four countries.
I was just talking to Stewie. You just said what a great tour it was. I was just talking to Stewie only a few minutes ago, and he was going to come on tonight as well, but he's up in Sydney and he's doing something. On the phone, but he's working for Sunrise during the Com Games, so he's going to be doing every morning on Sunrise. So Australian listeners can jump on and listen to Stewie talking about the Com Games because they're about to get underway, of course. So everyone's
I think
excited
Phil's
about
frozen.
That.
Yes? Or he's in deep thought again.
Yep. Well, he sent me a message. I'll get him to Phil to rejoin.
Yeah, no, that's all good. Yeah. We can recap what happened on stage three, at the Tour de France Femmes.
Yep.
It was a hectic stage again. There's been a lot of crashes in this edition in the first 3 days. Like we've seen a lot. Amanda Spratt pulled out before the start, which she's had a lot of setbacks, particularly the last.
I know. I was just reading her, some of her quotes, and she's just, I think she's run over the black cat. She didn't say that. That was me, but she couldn't. She was hurt in the crash yesterday and couldn't start. There were a lot of crashes. Well, more a couple of days ago, but again today. But gee, it was great race. And look, the courses are a little they're a bit on the iffy side. The courses they're putting them on in a real small roads and that. But that's bike racing in France, I guess. But I can tell you, yesterday's last night stage was a fair. The last 30K was just vintage racing, and right through the whole Champagne area, just fantastic. And tonight's is a ripper. I mean, tonight's is, look at all those Cat 4, Cat 3, Cat 2, Cat 1. I don't know how you can make a Cat 1 when you only go that high, but anyway, we've got a lot of gravel roads, a bit of the white roads like Tuscan Road.
Must be steep, the Cat 1. The categorization depends on where it comes in the race as well.
Yeah, of course. But, you have a look at where they're going the last 2 days. They've got some real mountains. But this is a absolute ripper stage. And after the way they raced the last part yesterday, I'm looking forward to something special. Now, we were talking about yesterday's stage. So it was some of the best racing. And first time we've seen Annemiek van Vleuten actually crack. Turns out she's a bit sick, but she fought back and then got dropped again in the finale. So that's not Annemiek. She's showed great form in Italy. So obviously we'll see if she can come back. But even though Marion Vos hung on to the, she had to come back as well. She was a great chase by a few of them to get back on in the last. 10K. It was like a team pursuit. You had the two similar sized bunches, six in one and five in the other, and they got on with only 4 or 5K to go. Wonderful racing. Cecile Ludwig was just too strong. I thought Marianne Vos had it because it was quite a tough uphill finish. She was just too good. So I'm looking forward to another one of those tonight. I think it's going to be a ripper.
There's a lot of motion at the finish line with Ludwig's victory. So I grabbed a video that FDJ posted. Just shows you how much it meant to the team, given their bad luck the day before.
Pure moment of emotions.
Oh, you winner! Oh.
Thanks, girl.
You deserve it.
Yes, Cecily! Woo! We love you!
You're a shock, you don't know.
Yeah, it's great emotion there.
Those bloody Danes, we can't keep these bloody Danes down, can we?
No. And here was her post-race interview where she was quite emotional talking to the guys after the finish.
Cecily, congrats. That's a pure moment of emotions.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It feels like such a good comeback.
Such a good comeback after.
I have to say it was a fucking shit day yesterday. And losing Marta and crashing and have to come back and then I just loved how the team kept the fighting spirit, and yeah, we knew that today was a super good day, and if I had the legs, then I could try and go for the win and to actually do it and be a Tour de France stage winner. and in this jersey. Oh my God. it just doesn't get better. Yeah.
Can you explain your sprints? How strong were you to beat Marianne Vos?
Yeah, I don't think I realized it yet. but it was, and I actually, I didn't come into like the last corner in the best position, but I just kept fighting, and what a victory, man, and this is for the team, this is for my team, they did such a good job yesterday, and they kept believing in me, so yeah. I love you guys.
What a win and what a year for Denmark.
Yeah, what a year for Denmark.
Huge congrats.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's some of the most emotion you'll ever see at the finish.
I would say it was sensational. Yeah, yeah.
She dropped
the F-bomb.
Yeah, and what I like about FDJ is when they have national champions jerseys, they don't put any branding on it. It's just clean. Like, that's very rare, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very rare.
Good point, yeah.
But, it was great to see Grace Brown in there as well from an Aussie perspective. You know, she's obviously a key member of the team, and you'd be expecting her to start lighting things up as it moves towards the Helios stuff, Ify.
Yeah, well, I think they lost their number one GC person yesterday, but Cecile Ludwig, she's also she's more than just a sprinter. So I think it's too steep for Grace in the last couple of days. I mean, they've got two real mountain stages, Saturday and Sunday, to finish this bike race off. So even though there's the GC is going to completely change, I would think.
I've got a couple of live comments. Jason Crew says, hi, Dan, John, Phil. Wendy, narrow roads and crosswinds, too narrow and seems to set up for crashes. I think that's a...
Well, they were. Change. They were. Yeah, I was thinking, well, I was just starting to touch on it. You did right, Jason. I thought they were asking for trouble. They were they had the crosswinds. They're going on real narrow roads, and there's going to be more of that today. Today is all in the Champagne region again, but a lot of white, you know, of dirt roads, and it's going to be a stage worth watching today, I can tell you.
I was going to say, Phil, how's the reaction been through NBC and the broadcasters now that we do have the Tour de France Femmes? I mean, I know that Trish, there was a big presentation, a lot of media on the weekend for the build-up, for just how big this is for the sport as a whole.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, we've got this new streaming service now called Peacock. That's what they call the Peacock, you see, on the symbol.
Ah, right.
So there's Peacock TV now. And they're just putting everything out there. But it's a cost thing. I was there. We didn't commentate on the race because of technical situations. So they took the feed from the Tour de France with the, I presume, the English commentators on. But I'm going into London on the last day to do the last day. I'm in London. Bob Rowe will be in San Francisco at his home. And we have Megan Guarnier, ex-cyclist, and she's in Connecticut, near New York. And we're going to do all the last days live ourselves. But they're on top of it. There's no question that they're good. They'll follow women's cycling. I mean, it's pretty exciting now. I'm sorry about all these crashes. And as of this morning, there's 13 riders already out of the tour, but either eliminated, because there is a big difference of class in this race between the smaller women and the big hitters. And one team's only got two riders left in it already because they just can't hack it, you know. But that's all right. I mean, the racing is going to be good. I'm delighted.
Well, Sunday, mate, up the Super Place de Belleville, as you say. We know how tough that is. We saw the guys struggling up it. This is going to be an amazing finale, and the race is going to be decided up those steep dirt road right near the top. So it's going to be amazing.
Oh, they're going straight to the finish line of the men.
Yeah, same one. Yeah.
And a lot of them will not ride it. I'll tell you, a lot will be forced to walk up that climb. If you remember Louis Menkes in the Tour de France, he had grit in his gears and he found it quicker to jump off and walk across the line than to try and fix the problem.
Yes. He ran across the line and reminded me of Chris Froome. At least he had his bike with him, but Chris was doing it without his bike.
Yeah. I wonder about that situation because, of course, he would be disqualified without crossing the line without his bike. That's what it is. You know?
Yeah, but, yeah.
I'm glassing a bit of coffee today. How's that going?
Looks a bit iffy, mate. Now, just as we came on before, your lovely wife, Patricia, was very excited.
Hearing her name.
Yes, there she is. So, and she had a yellow jersey of her own. So where is that? Trish, come on. Now, tell us the story.
Tour de France, originals on tour. Trish was in charge of the teams 84 to 89. You know, they're incorrectly calling this event the first Tour de France for women, which of course it was. And they had it for 5 years. And
yes. Well, we had Aussie on the podium back in about 84 or 85. Yeah.
That's right. And Marianne Martin, the American, won the first one. And then the next four one were shared equally by Jenny Longo, who was there on Sunday, and Maria Cannins, who I don't think won.
Yeah, we had a reunion with Marianne Martin on Saturday night with all the Brits, and there was a team of about 14 of us, all with our jerseys on. We were interviewed by radios, TV, Eurosport, ITV4, all over the place, because we made quite a statement, to be honest, and we were the originals on tour. I think there was one in 1955, to be honest, also some sort of a tour on 1955. But ours were running directly with the tour. We did the same days, half the stage. We started partway down the stage, finished at the same finish on the same day, 18 days, full on. And we were complete naively, you know, doing the whole thing quite naively, I must say. But we did it. 36 riders in the first one. It got more as the time went on. But, amazing times they were, to be honest. And to reunion with all the girls of the team after 35 years or thereabouts, quite amazing. We actually had a fantastic weekend. So, brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
How did it feel, Patricia, to see like the event, you know, in a revamped sort of format, but to get the coverage that it deserves?
Well, at the end of the day, the documentary team who did The Voice of Cycling picked up that there was a woman's Tour de France because there was a snippet in that film about my work down there at that time. And because there's one coming up now, they actually decided to do the film, and they came out, the Australian crew came out, filmed us all weekend. They left back again on Tuesday. There's a lot more behind the scenes than meets the eye. And, you know, there was a lot of respect, but I think what's really going to happen with this is we won't be forgotten for a start, which is what might well have happened. A lot of people have never heard of that tour, that series in the 80s. So very, very unaware that it actually went ahead. But with this, with the documentary coming up and everything going on with, we're going to be rekindled. And so they will realize that there was a tour, and we climbed La Plagne, we climbed Alpe d'Huez, we climbed Tourmalet. So, I mean, it wasn't half-hearted. We did the whole thing properly.
It felt like, because they put all the advertising up for the women's race on the Champs-Élysées, Liv and everything that was sponsoring, Swift, and they had to take all that down and put the tour advertising up in just over an hour, which was a tremendous effort by the riggers to transfer it from the women's race to the men's race. And they used all the race cars that are used on the men's race as well. So it was a full-on operation. And
massive crowds at the start for the women.
Great crowds, absolutely. I mean, huge. This is the start of it'll go on. The reason the other one stopped was what happened now?
No, I just.
Le Tour de France. Okay. I noticed that Henri de Grange's signature on the left breast, shall I say. I just wondered if where you got that from while you were talking.
This is from America, actually. This was given to me in America about 20 years ago. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Good job you found. anyway, we had, I thought we did a great job, and that race will grow big now. Yes, it's only 8 days this time around. The logistics must be a nightmare for the same operations team to carry on. We left behind the teams like the SBS full TV crew. They're covering it live. The British were doing it as well, ITV. We came away because they said it was technically too difficult for them to do, and probably too costly for America as well. I don't know.
I think the documentary will actually show the progression, because they're not going to stop just with interviewing girls from that year and then coming up to current day, and they've got involved with something of the tour that's going on now, and we'll get a lot of footage for that to pull the whole lot together. But they've got to also talk about what's happened in between, because there's so much that's happened in between.
Oh, of course.
Now, and women's cycling is just completely different sport now, and it's really progressed. But, you know, we were the pioneers. I think we can say that quite happily.
Sure.
And I think we proved ourselves rather well, because 36 started. 35 finished, one big crash.
I have to say,
it got bigger each year, so it was good. Yeah.
The whole team turned up. There's only one or two missing.
Over 5 years, there was a few other girls that weren't there, but generally one of the girls did five, another did three, or whatever. But Mandy Jones, we had the world champion there, and the organisation the girls did to actually make this happen was quite remarkable.
They were great.
Quite remarkable. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Nice to meet them all again.
Yeah.
I went to the hotel before the start.
Yeah,
I met them all, and it was like they looked exactly the same.
Yeah,
and yet these people are now in the 60s.
They've got daughters of not 28, yeah. 29 kids.
Wow. Yeah,
and they were all still riding. The one's daughter's riding racing now. Two of them are still doing masters. They're doing masters championships and stuff. So they all look pretty good, I must say.
One's a UCI Masters time trial champion. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. I look forward to seeing the documentary when it's ready.
Yeah, it should be quite fun.
It's the same group, the Voice of Cycling.
Yeah, and, we'll meet them out in Melbourne, actually. They live in Melbourne.
They've got
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick drinks break when we come back. Good on you, Trish. We'll continue. We've got a few live comments to get through, and then we'll get you tip for stage four, Iffy. So. Stay tuned.
Are you done with me?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry about that.
What's that, mate?
Are you done with me?
No, we've got a couple of quick live questions for you, Phil. So hang in there.
Hang in. And the route won't go wrong this time. Right.
Look at this bike. You think it's just a bike, right? but it's not. It's a bike. 374 people are looking at. This guy, this girl, them, all looking at it. People from here, there, and wherever this is. People that are looking for a bike. Or just a piece of it. Amateurs, semi-amateurs, and pro-amateurs. This guy wants this bike, but with this crank and these bars. This could be the perfect match. But not this one. This girl has a bike to sell, and thousands of people might purchase it. Eyes on Bikes help grow small businesses. His, hers, yours, and the latest data and insights help those businesses keep moving. We are the world's number one bike marketplace, with over 500,000 products and 900 brands, where buyers and sellers are brought together in a place where a bike is never just a bike. Bike Exchange, where the world buys, sells, learns, and rides.
Thanks again to Bike Exchange, massive supporters of the show, bikeexchange.com.au. If you need road bike, mountain bike, and they've got a sale on e-bikes, if you get down to Bike Exchange.
Yeah. Yes, that's the way to go, no matter whether it's a full bike or a bike frame or a helmet or, you know, New Jersey. Just jump on to bikeexchange.com.au and they'll find the best deal near you.
Couple of live comments. Sam Roberts says, the voice, great to hear Phil's take on everything cycling. Paul Sutton says, my first exposure to cycling was Phil Liggett calling Olympic sprint cycling. Cyclists, absolutely stationary, has never been so exciting. They've loved it since. Ian Thomas says, great to hear your words of wisdom, Phil. Madame KV says, gentlemen, beautifully done, Phil, and the daily detours. We loved every minute of it. Thanks for an excellent tour. Look for you in Copenhagen, but no such luck for us. I was probably ducking and weaving. Prasad Sharma says, this is for you, Phil. How do you rate Tom Pidcock's performance in his first Tour de France, finishing in the top 25 riders?
He produced everything I expected from him, Dan. It sounds silly to say, I suppose, but he wasn't put in there to make up the team. He was put in there to... And if he'd have got tired or appeared in trouble, they'd have pulled him out his first Tour de France, but he didn't. He got stronger and stronger. His mountain biking skills were clear when he descended down towards the start of the Alpe d'Huez climb. Chris Froome just about hung on to his coattails. And the way he rode that bike down a mountain, one of the best descenders I've ever seen. And that's because of his great bike handling skills, mountain biking and cyclocross. And of course, he stayed away and he won at Alpe d'Huez, youngest ever winner in the 70-year history of climbing the Alps.
It's impressive.
He's going to go. He can do what he wants. It's up to him. He's got all the talent required. He runs in parallel with Wout van Aert and Mathieu van der Poel, because they're both following the same track, and he'll be the next one. He's taking his time. He's not being rushed, and he's an absolutely brilliant bike rider.
No, he's very good. I agree with all of that except for parallel with Van Aert. Not quite there yet.
When you see them ride against each other in the cycle.
And look at his age. It's true. Yeah. I mean, that was the best descending of a mountain I've ever seen. It just blew me away. Only once did he look like he might have got a fraction too quick around one corner, but he just did so beautifully. And to win on Alpe d'Huez, just an amazing ride. But overall, his whole tour was great because he was doing lots of work as well. He was doing for Geraint Thomas. So very impressive.
Well, it's funny how the we asked Steve Cummings and Neil Stevens, you know, what are these teams do now that you've got two dominant GC riders? Do you just sort of plan around it, you know, do the Giro and Vuelta and just don't ride against them? But then Steve Cummings was saying, you know, there's a lot of advancements because they're all looking at what Jumbo are doing. I read an article today about how they tackled nutrition at the tour. It was next level. They had like seven chefs. They planned it weeks in advance. Everything they ate was depending on the stages and all the science behind just the food. And that's one thing Steve said we could do better is nutrition. Do you think that'll be the next thing, Phil, that teams will really dial up how important the fuel is at a Grand Tour?
Well, we've got to the point now in the sport whereby you've got to look at these, as Dave Bailsford used to call it, marginal gains. And those marginal gains,
the word,
charge your body up to make it do the job properly? How you, even these ridiculously priced made skin suits, just to gain half a second is when they pull them on, you know, they're made to the ride. The riders go and visit the factory. It's like stretching on a piece of glue and it's shaped to the body completely. And it's made of the material. Because if you're going to win the Tour de France, what I like about it, the improvements is nothing wrong with those at all, is there's no longer one team domination. And I have to say it, and the team knows it, there's no longer a boring Sky team trying to just put all the men on the front and just ride the race just down the road while the men win the race. Those days have gone, thankfully. Tadej brought a breath of fresh air to the whole thing. He's just pulled out of the Tour of Spain, by the way, which I was thought he might try and go and get the double, but I wonder if he pulled out because he didn't win the Tour de France. I don't know.
I was surprised he was going to ride it, actually. But I'm just hoping he comes out to the Worlds. I hear he is coming out to Australia for the Worlds, so that's going to be fantastic to have all of them here. I drove around the small circuit, the finishing circuit, yesterday, Phil, and I got to tell you, it is really, really tough. I'd say tougher than the Geelong circuit. Similar hill, maybe even tougher, but there is no recovery areas. It's down and through the town and back up again. It's hard to come back. It's a tough man's course. It's Wout van Aert's course. It can be hard to beat him on that course.
Wow. Yeah, well, like you know, Geelong's at sea level, I understand. You're looking down on it because you're always in the hills around the national park there.
That's
going to be great. A little place,
But interesting what you just said, because
if he had the...
No,
I was
going to
say Caleb Ewan had the surgery. Had the plate. Caleb Ewan had the surgery yesterday with a plate for his collarbone.
Yeah. Yes.
And he said, oh, that might have explained a bit of the form as well.
Of course, of course. Let's see where it goes back. It's interesting, isn't it? But what you were just talking on before, Phil, it's funny how it was Sky who started all these marginal gains. And they led. And now you've got Jumbo has taken it an extra step. But what I loved about Jumbo, even though they had hold of the race and they were losing riders for different, you know, for everything, crashes and broken collarbones and COVID and Roglic was crook. They didn't just then go on the defensive. They still had Wout van Aert jumping up the road. It's just so wonderful, so aggressive. It was just a breath of fresh air. Just absolutely loved them.
He could do anything. He's such a clever bike rider. And, you know, even on the mountain stage, he attacks at the gun. So he's up the road just in case somebody comes across him like his team leader, Vingegaard. And he's ready to help him until he drops off the back. As a by the way, he kept on winning the points he wanted. That was a record score of 480 points. Which is absolutely brilliant. I mean, at the moment, and I met all his fans, of course. I fell over all his fans outside the hotel. And they just expect him to perform. So they'd have been quite disappointed when he'd obviously decided not to go for the stage win in Paris. But to make sure his teammate wasn't coming to any grief. And they set up that lovely shot finishing together and conceding a few seconds on the overall classification.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
It made Tadej 2.5 minutes look better than 3.5 minutes. Swift.
Mm. Yeah, it was awesome. All right, Ify, who's your tip for stage 4 in the Tour de France Femmes?
Niewe Donner it's a nice one for her. She's sort of been up there and getting close. And she was, I think it's a good course for her. But it's going to be a great bike race. Could be anyone. You can't cut out Marianne Vos. It'd be interesting to see how Annemiek van Vleuten goes, because normally it's a perfect course for her, but she was sick yesterday. It was very unusual to see her struggling, getting back on, getting dropped again. You know, I was interesting to see that she was sick. It needed something to explain it because it was you know, so out of character. But, yeah, I mean, Kirsten Faulkner was very good. She ended up, you know, just losing a little bit of time, but she looks strong. So
I think she'll be.
Yeah. So, yeah, Marion Vos and Basica, who actually is riding very well with no team, and Niwa Donna there, 18 seconds. And Alyssa Longo Borghini, she'll be in the mix as well. She was very strong again yesterday. So, yeah, great stage coming up. Great
well, the next next show that we're going to do, we're all going to be back in Australia. It'll be on Friday because the logistics are flying back. Yep. So. We'll be able to recap a couple of days of action out on the roads. And what's your movements now, Phil? Do you get a bit of time off, or are you straight into it? You've obviously got the race on Sunday, but
no, I'm I've just cleaned up 2 days of all the usual problems after being away for 5 weeks. Now I'm actually swatting up on the women's race for 3 days, and then I'll do the last stage on Sunday, and then Monday I go to the Commonwealth Games for Channel 7.
Oh, nice.
Pick up with all the road events of the Combat Game, which fortunately are in Birmingham. So it's only a 2 hour train drive and I'll be on site. So it's working pretty good. Yeah. And then after that, we'll see what comes. I'm going to the Tour of Langkawi for the first time for about 10 years. Looking forward to that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because what's happening with all the tour teams now, world tour teams facing a possible relegation, etc. And you can go and ride small races and get the same points as riding the Tour de France, which they've got to alter the system. But while it's this way, the Tour of Langkawi is all the lower placed world tour teams have asked to ride the event in the hope that they can save the world tour license.
Yeah. There's an updated points from 2 days ago.
Good, man. I'm very impressed with you, boy.
Yeah, I just had it in reserve just in case. A movie plummeted. They haven't collected points in ages.
No. So Bike Exchange moved well clear of Lotto in Israel over the last over the tour. And Movistar's coming right back. So it's Lotto Sudal and Israel Privatech who look like being the two teams that will struggle.
Yeah.
It's tough. Well, those teams are probably going to ride in Langkawi, you see, to see if they can snip a few stages, etc.
Exactly. Yeah.
Incidentally, can you see the book? This is the tour book for the women.
Oh, nice.
That's the route today. Not much on it, really. A lot of flags.
She's a tough one. A lot of gravel roads.
Yeah, 3/4 categories, 2/3.
Yeah.
And I've no idea what these bunches of grapes mean. See how much
all through the vineyards. All through the vineyards.
Well, that's why the roads are narrow, because they want more fields to grow the champagne.
Yeah, it's all through Champagne area region. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a 1, 2, 3, and 4. So, do they have a vineyard points competition or something? I don't know.
Grape jersey.
And they got a bloody bee category again, which is. As we well know, it's a bonus seconds. So,
But, you know, the last 2 days, you say, John, they're horrendously hard. So the race will be a two-day race, whatever happens, you know.
Yeah.
And if Van Vleuten, she won't have a problem if she gets well, picking up that
I don't think she'll recover from this personally. I don't think she'll be winning this Tour de France. I'd be very surprised. We know how good she is, but I don't think she'll come back from that. She is...
Longo Borghini, then. She sticks to her guns. She's a dogged rider. Niwa Donna, she might do it.
All right. It's going to be interesting. Thanks again for all your support, guys. YouTube.com/ The Detour Podcast. I know you boys have got things to do. So we'll see. have a good call over the weekend, Phil. We'll check in again with you soon. And I'll speak to you on Friday, Iffy, when we're back in Australia.
Sounds good, mate. Yeah. 5 o'clock Friday.
Yep. 5 o'clock Friday.
That would that be local time, John?
It's local time. Yeah, 8 o'clock for you, mate.
All good. Thanks, guys.
All right.
See you soon.
Great to see you once again. Joe, everybody. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.